Hi, and welcome to another episode of For the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive. And it is that time for another relevant and timely conversation with one of my favorite industry leaders to talk about the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer's or OEM's radar like yours, for a smoother and more successful road forward. So today we are filming live from Cox Automotive headquarters here in Atlanta, and I am so excited to bring to you part two of a really exciting series on identity fraud with my good friend, Margaret Bosworth. She is over the automotive, insurance, and telco verticals at Equifax, and she told me it was okay for me just to say identity fraud and compliance, but that wouldn't do justice to all of the great work that she and her teams do. So Margaret, thank you for being back with us for part two.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us, Jade. I'm so excited to talk today with the audience with a little bit more practical tips and tricks and things that it's important to focus on in this really incredibly important space.
Yeah, you bet. So if you missed our first episode that we released in early June, we talked a lot about trends and the definitions of fraud, the types of fraud that exist out there. But today we're going to get into the real nitty gritty of best practices, what dealers need to be doing, how they can use their practices and tools in this space to really differentiate themselves, but also to recognize that this is a cultural thing. It's something that our dealers and clients and financiers have to really dive in and make a conscious effort for this to be a focus in their organization. So as we dive in, let's just go ahead and say fraud is such a big word. Can you give our viewers a really quick overview of when we say identity fraud, what the heck do we mean?
Absolutely. No, and I think it's really important to do that level set because such an important part of this topic is education and making people feel across the spectrum that are involved in the process understand what it is that they're trying to achieve and what the objectives are. So when we think about fraud, I think it's just a really simple level set definition is this is situations where someone is providing information in a purposeful manner that is false, fake, stolen, somehow not real information about their actual own identity with an objective to do something nefarious. So that's kind of a broad kind of way to think about what are we trying to avoid and keep out of our business.
Yeah. And so I would imagine like anything operational in a dealership organization, habits are really good to form if they're positive habits, but then there are also a lot of bad habits that happen because everybody's wearing so many hats, especially on a busy Saturday with consumers in and out and people in and out of the finance office and back and forth on the lot. So let's talk best practices first. What are the key best practices and tools that you recommend dealers should have to make it as easy as possible for their staff to be compliant in this space for their customers?
Absolutely. So we touched, I know, on our last episode a bit on the overall idea that specifically in the automotive space, there's a lot of risk because fraudsters view it as an opportunity to try to take advantage of a very high value item. So it's a space where we really need to be diligent. Now, how do we get into those sort of best practices and good habits like you described? Well, I like to think of a few different key areas that it would be recommended that the dealerships focus on. First being, you know, you want to take advantage of the great technology and data solutions that are available through partners like Equifax and others. That can really help arm your team with the, again, tools and information that they're going to need to try to combat fraud. But tools and information only go so far. What you really have to do is get that buy-in and actual application of the information. So I think the other kind of major focus that I'd recommend is around, it's around training and education. It's about making sure that the various touch points throughout the organization, whether the frontline salespeople, those in your finance office, throughout your leadership team, all understand the objectives and the risks that you're trying to address. So it's really about trying to provide the right training at the right time and also in an ongoing way so that those who are using the tools will understand what they're trying to do and have the confidence necessary to make decisions when it's appropriate to do some escalation or to potentially step up the process with that consumer, get a little bit more information to get confident about, you know, that they are who they say they are.
Yeah. You bet. So technology is a big piece of anything in the cybersecurity space or the fraud space. But as we think about technology, it is part of the problem, but it's also part of the solution. So how should our clients be thinking about the technology aspects to protect their business?
I think that's a great point. And I really like to think about the idea of consistency, right? So this is the term that I really like to drive for leadership to bring to the end users. And another key point around that is leadership demonstrating in a real manner their buy-in to usage of the tools and technology. A potential example or best practice could also be if your organization has had a situation where either they've been able to avoid a fraudster actually taking advantage, or perhaps even, unfortunately, a negative example where something did get through. It's great to use those as a training opportunity and present that information back to the end user so they can see, look how the tools and technology helped us in this scenario. And perhaps if we didn't follow with consistency some of the directions and guidelines, what some of those outcomes can also be. And then I think it's also important to acknowledge that in a practical way, the different team members that are involved in a sale, they have, you know, competing priorities. They're trying to make a deal, and this is business. It's important to acknowledge that. So I think it's through leadership demonstrating the importance of following the guidelines and using the tools that they will get into those good habits and kind of follow through on using the tech and the data in the best ways possible to avoid fraud.
What would the first step be for a dealership to start to drive that cultural adoption that is necessary? Because I think the key words that everybody should take away right there that Margaret shared with us, consistency is number one, which comes from going to develop those good habits, hold your people accountable. Leadership has to set the example. But what is step one to cultural adoption?
Yeah, no, you're really touching on it. The key point there is around the leadership demonstrating through their actions in a practical manner that they believe this is important. I think when team members see that and they know that it's what they're being asked to do and also helping to avoid keeping actual criminal and nefarious behavior, not only out of their business and their dealership, but out of their community, that helps them to want to move forward. Another really specific practical item is a lot of times there'll be training that takes place when a team member comes on board, but then maybe not follow on training on a regular basis. Trying to develop some best practices for taking the time. We know all of, you know, it's such a competitive space, but it is so worth it if you actually make it a priority for the team members to know that we want you to be reviewing how the tools work, reviewing the guidelines that have been set for how to follow them. And then another key tip I really like, and I've seen used in some dealerships with great success, is really communicating from leadership to say, hey, if you're unsure, come get somebody for support in the organization. That is encouraged, right? Sometimes it's best to get some of those subjective decisions out of the hands of somebody who does have different competing priorities that they're trying to juggle. And I think that escalation to get some support from a manager or someone in an F&I office, if something just isn't feeling right, that's really a great best practice that can get people feeling comfortable, you know, making those sorts of decisions.
Yeah. And I take from that, you know, that's clear policies, mm-hmm. probably written compliance policies.
Definitely.
Repetition is the key to retention. So not just saying it once when they onboard, but saying it again and again, and then holding them accountable and maybe having a point person for those escalations to go to. If they see something that doesn't feel right, they need to bring it to this person, and it's not going to be overlooked. Somebody's going to jump right on it. And so they really all understand what their responsibilities are within the organization. So let's shift to customer experience, the experience that the consumer has, because I know I personally, when I go through multi-factor authentication for my bank I sit back and it's frustrating when you're doing it. But then when you sit back and think of the alternative, you realize how important these things are. So what would you tell dealers or automotive financiers in that space to make the consumer feel like you're taking these steps to protect and safeguard them instead of kind of being suspicious about what they're doing on your website or in your store?
Yeah, completely agree. And it's the transparency with the consumer is so critical. So some of the key best practice examples that I would think about, again, comes back to training, helping the frontline staff feel comfortable and confident with responding to questions from a consumer about why am I being asked for a certain piece of information, or, hey, last time I didn't have to provide this, why do I have to do it now? When they are confident and prepared to address the fact that, look, we're trying to do our best to leverage data, tools, information, and really trying to create a consistent and smooth experience that we can pass on long-term savings through avoidance of fraud in the dealership. The consumers really understand that. And I think it's, you know, also good to help them become familiar if they are, you know, asking questions with the reality that we're keeping this out of not only the business of the car dealership, but you're keeping these behaviors and these downstream impacts out of your community. That kind of communication can really resonate with consumers. I've also seen some that do sort of some basic information that can be provided on a pre-prepared piece of a document that can be quickly shared for just providing some insight into what ID verification is and why you're actually asking more information about the customer to make sure that you know who you're doing business with. Ultimately, it benefits everyone, and being comfortable telling that story is going to go a long way in those customer experiences.
Yeah, agreed. And I would say make it a differentiator. We had talked about that a little bit in our last episode, that, you know, dealers who aren't afraid to speak to their customers about this, not just in person, but make it messaging on your website, make it part of that external customer-facing message to let them know how important taking these steps and having the right tools and partners and technology and processes in place to protect them. And like you said, to protect your community, because we know automotive is a target right now for cyber criminals. So in the differentiator space, any other takeaways that you have for our dealers?
Yeah, I think that when we look at it from the lens of how the dealers can benefit, I think there's actually great advantages by having consistent adoption of tools to provide strong know your customer types of processes through your identity verification. As most of us, you know, in the space and certainly in dealership leadership and ownership are familiar with, there's certain obligations from a regulatory and compliance perspective that they are needing to follow. And so having these processes in place and having your staff well trained on them helps you to achieve those things and avoid costly audits or issues of investigation at a later point. So it can really be a huge cost savings in the long term. Another differentiator I think is so critical, especially as the industry continues to evolve, is understanding that these processes being in place, especially across different channels of how our customers are interacting, that can really help to make a more consistent and smooth and even faster expeditious experience. And I think, you know, we've learned a great deal about the consumer's desire to speed some of the processes that are involved in the car buying journey. And while it may seem a little unintuitive that you're introducing some different steps in place, if you do it consistently, it can actually speed the overall process. And another point I would just add to that is, you know, you mentioned the sort of multi-factor authentication. In my, you know, 20 years with Equifax, if I go back, I'll say 10-ish years plus, nobody knew what multi-factor authentication was. But today, I would say the average consumer is familiar with, especially if you explain the concepts, multi-factor being, you know, you're going to get some kind of a link, or you're going to be receiving some sort of a one-time code, perhaps to an email or to a cellular device via a text message. These are different things that help demonstrate as a consumer that you are who you say you are, that the information you've provided is real and accurate. And so consumers are more and more familiar with and comfortable with those sorts of tools and technology. And wherever we can make them smooth and fast for the customer, that's something I know we're really striving for at Equifax, is to ensure that the tools we provide can create that sort of swiftness in the customer journey, because the vast majority, vast majority of your transactions, of your interactions with consumers, there's nothing nefarious going on, right? So we want to make sure we're helping to approve and move forward as many good customers as possible, as efficiently as possible.
Yes. You may have answered my last question there already. So I know you won't be stumped on this one, though. But, you know, when we think about the brands between Equifax and Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book and all of our brands across Cox Automotive, cybersecurity is so important. protection of our consumers' data and our dealers' data is so very important, but the partnerships that we create, the people that we work with and the companies that we work with are as important, because we are only as good as every one of those external and internal connections that we have with privacy data, consumer data, dealer and financial data. So why Equifax?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And the ecosystem is so vast, right? Between companies like Equifax that are data and technology providers, the dealership network, we've got marketplace interaction partners, we've got certainly the auto financing teams. There's so many different parties involved. And so everybody doing their part to have the best in class solutions is certainly the goal. And it's certainly the goal for Equifax. We have made tremendous investment in this particular area over the last quite many years now at Equifax to enable us to fully leverage all of the data and technology that we have in our vast network of information, and really set ourselves up with infrastructure, data classification, the latest technology tools to enable matching of information in the most efficient manner. Real-time speed is so critical. We've also made tremendous investments in acquisitions companies like Count, that we are very proud to have into the Equifax network and family. This helps supplement the information that we have in our trusted and robust bureau data with also additional data that can be used to help locate as many of those good customers, as I mentioned, as possible, as efficiently as we can. So one example I'd highlight, an identity verification baseline solution that we partner with Cox DealerTrack on and providing out to dealers, Digital Identity Trust. It's a terrific identity verification, robust solution that allows you to leverage all of the information that's available in an efficient and configurable way to meet very specific needs for each industry that we work in, and even more, you know, nuanced and specific for at the individual customer levels as needed. But that's been a huge focus for us. Another area that there's a lot of investment and a lot of evolution happening from a technology perspective is on document scanning, things like driver's license scans. Equifax has a terrific solution that we're partnering, again, with DealerTrack on to provide out through various channels, where you're able to both capture things like driver's license images, and then even more really interesting advanced biometric types of technology tools, where you're doing essentially a selfie for the consumer to help validate that the driver's license and the individual are in fact the same person. And it even has something that I thought was really interesting. It's called a liveness check. Mm-hmm. So when you use this particular tool, it actually encourages the user to do things like turn their head side to side, look up and down. And what that's doing is it's technology that's identifying that this person's actually a real person. It's not an image of an image, which is becoming, you know, challenging in our AI-driven sort of marketplace and the world that we're living in. So we are investing heavily in these solutions and working closely with partners like Cox to make sure that we understand the unique challenges of the industries that we support, and have a forward-looking roadmap to ensure that we're going to work together to continue to build both a safe as well as an efficient customer experience, and hopefully avoid fraud and financial crime wherever possible.
Yes, well, we sure are glad that you all are making those investments, and we are so grateful for the partnership. And, you know, how few times in this huge ecosystem that we live in do we find tools, technology, and partnerships that are truly a win-win for the consumer, the dealer, the banks, the manufacturers, and our organizations. And all of these tools are just so important. And it truly is a win-win to create that connected omnichannel experience mm-hmm. that customers are looking for, that drives the time efficiencies and profitability for our clients. And so thank you for being with us today. What so much great information shared.
We are so proud of the partnership over a decade that we've been working with Cox. And we look forward to finding more and more ways to help get the information out to the end users and support everybody in the ecosystem that is part of this process to just create opportunities for efficiency and again, cost savings, and obviously reduction of fraud and financial crime, which is a key goal.
Well, Thank you. And if you missed the first of this two-part series, do not forget to check it out because it was a great one. And so again, thank you, Margaret. And thank you to all of you, our viewers and listeners, whether you are watching on your favorite streaming platform like Apple or Spotify, or watching us on the Auto Trader homepage, we sure are glad that you are here. And if you are not a subscribed member, visit us at b2b.autotrader.com/fortheroadforward to be one of the first to hear when brand new episodes are released like this one, or for subscriber-only bonuses that pop out throughout the year. And so, Margaret, we are thrilled to have you. We're going to have you back soon, though.
Great.
And we're going to keep talking about this really important topic for our dealers. So join us next week. We'll have more conversations with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they are currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive business. And as always, we're cutting through the noise to drive real results for you.